will swing back. How far it swings back and how long it stays that way remain to be seen. When I was a kid, I loved summertime. For the entire month of June, I'd sit in class and I would daydream about running around at the park and playing ball. But then I'd go running around in the park playing ball all summer with a little countdown clock in the back of my brain, reminding me how many days till school starts again. We always seem to be fixated on looking ahead to what we don't have instead of what we have, even if that something is better or worse than what we've currently got. Identify what's good in your life. Savor it. Enjoy it. Embrace it. But don't try to grab it with the stranglehold as if you're never going to let it go, because it'll slip right through your hands like sands on the beach. Don't like the radio show you're listening to? Oh, come on. Who doesn't like the radio show you're listening to? But you know what? Even if you do not like the show you're listening to now, wait 3 hours. Armed American Radio is coming on. It'll change from us to them. But for now, keep it here. Give us a couple hours worth of your time. It's bound to get better, right? Oh, by the way, here is the vice president in charge of making things better on the American Adversaries, Christopher Hart.
Vice president? I get demoted or something?
Yeah,
or
no,
you're the president of vice. All right, welcome to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour as we depart the gates here for our tour. And we're on 1520 right now, WBZW, because the Rays are playing. And as soon
or not.
As, or not. Yeah.
Oh, they're on the field.
They're doing something.
There you go. If that's what you want to call playing baseball anyway. They're quickly diminishing their playoff chances, speaking of that. But
Slim just left the building. I think they're left with none.
Right. And this is where you'll have to find us next week, too, folks, at this time, because next week they'll be on the West Coast. Today they're in Texas. Next week they're actually on the West Coast. They'll be a full 3 hours behind, so the game will be starting at 4 o'clock. So pretty sure, unless they're wherever they're playing, is a rain out, will be preempted the whole show next week. Going to be probably 2/3 of it, maybe more tonight. So just stick around on 1520 WBZW. We appreciate you being out there listening in there. And, of course, some of you are listening on AM660TheAnswer.com and or your smart devices, and we appreciate that every bit as much. So we do have 3 hours of show lined up for you tonight. And that was Nostra Dennis. I am Christopher Hart. And we're joined in the studio tonight, of course, by Johnny Guns, WTF newsman, out last week, but here 90% of the time.
Johnny Guns is here.
Johnny Guns somewhere.
Oh, wait, that's
building.
Me. Yeah. Oh, yeah, here
yeah.
I am.
Yeah, see, it says on your shirt.
Part of it.
We put a name tag on you. All right, we got Jeff Sinis on the bridge tonight, so we are in
doing?
Good hands there. There you go. And Aubrey Kahn.
Hello.
Firm Foundation Home Inspections is on the show. How you doing?
Flabulous.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. And of course, if you need a home inspector, Aubrey's your man, and he'll go anywhere to inspect that property for you. You've been all over the state this week, haven't you?
Yeah. Winter Garden, Winter Springs, Longboat Key, Jacksonville. If you pay, we will go.
Where's Longboat Key?
West Coast.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. He's been all over. Up and down I-4, all across what?
Yeah, 3.5 tanks of gas this week.
All right, so, but like I said, if you need a home inspector, Aubrey's your man, go to orlandoshomeinspector.com, and you can find him there, orlandoshomeinspector.com. Of course, listen for the commercials, and we'll be talking with Aubrey during the show, and you can talk to us if you'd like to tonight. The number's the same, even though we're just on 1520, 407-774-8255, as we come to you live. Once again, from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And don't forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. I'll just give you a little quick rundown, and then I'm going to ask a favor of you here in a second. But we'll be talking about Bubba and B.O.
Oh, what's Bubba got to say about B.O.?
We'll speculate on that. We got Nostra Dennis going to do the stuff from the past we didn't get to. Carl's going to call in his corner here shortly. And then I want to spend the entire second hour of the show talking about who's qualified, right? I was watching the talking heads a little bit this morning, and they're throwing around this business of, well, Trump's ahead in the polls right now, but he's not qualified to be president. So, okay, we'll talk about who is qualified, Trump included. We're going to talk about all the Republicans and all the Democrats. We'll try to squeeze them all in, and that'll be in the second hour. And by qualified, we're going to talk about what their strengths and weaknesses are in terms of leadership. That I think, would be the main qualification to be the president of the United States. And so, once again, got a big show lined up for you. But real quick, Salem Media Group is doing a survey, a nationwide survey. And I'd like to ask you folks to participate in it. Who knows? It could help us out. You know, if you folks make a lot of noise down here about us, perhaps they'll take notice of it at corporate HQ. And it's you go to am660theanswer.com. That's am660theanswer.com, where some of you are listening to us right now. You're already there, and you've seen the banner calling for answer seekers. Do you want to be an answer seeker? Please sign up to be an answer seeker. It doesn't cost you anything, and I think basically you're just signing up to be on their mailing, their emailing list. And then take the Dreams Come True survey. Now, this is mostly a multiple choice thing. What type of radio do you like listening to? Conservative, sports, whatever. I haven't seen all the questions, but they're multiple choice questions. But then at one point in the survey, it asks you, who is your favorite Salem host? Okay, this is where you can make some noise for us. And I'm not asking you to lie. So if we're not your favorite host, put in there whoever is. But if we are, if this is your favorite show, type in there either American Adversaries. They'll have to figure it out, okay? If they look in and go, what's this? If enough people have you put in American Adversaries, they'll figure it out. Or you can put in Christopher Hart. Put in Nostradamus. Put in Johnny Guns. Put in Carl Jackson. Put in Aubrey Kahn. Put in Mike McBath. Put in Danny McKnight. Put somebody from our show in there. If they're your favorite host, please put them in there. Or just put in American Adversaries, or put Christopher Hart on American Adversaries, Nostradamus on American. Whatever you can get away with sticking in there, please do it. Now, you're going to get a chance. You'll be put in a drawing to win possibly $5,000. Now, this is a nationwide survey, so obviously your odds aren't all that great. But, hey, the only way to be guaranteed not to win is not to get in, right? So, and like I said, if you like this show, this is an opportunity where it doesn't cost you anything, and you can help us out. So please do go to am660theanswer.com, become an answer seeker, and take the Dreams Come True survey. And by the way, if you don't like this show or if you don't like the programming on this station, that's your opportunity to say something about that. So here's your opportunity to speak up. What do they say at the ceremony? You know, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Well, they don't say that anymore because people start speaking up.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, it's your opportunity to speak up out there. All right. New Fox poll out. And once again, we're going to talk more about these candidates later on in the show. But the new Fox poll, this is their latest national poll. Of course, this is post-debate. Post Kelly, whatever her name is, and post,
you know her name.
All right, Megyn Kelly. Post all the dust ups. Okay, Donald Trump went down in the polls. Yes, he did, from 26 to 25.
Yeah, 4% down.
No, 1%.
No, 4% of 25 is 1.
I know where he's coming from.
One percentage point, but 4% of his popularity.
All right.
Just
all right.
No,
depends on how bad you want to make it sound.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 4% down, but nonetheless still at 25%. Of course, that's within the margin of error. Thank you, Nostradamus.
Yeah, whatever.
A little off my game yet still. Ben Carson second at 12%. Ted Cruz third at 10%. Then you got Jeb Bush. Now, those three, Trump moved down 1 point, but Carson and Cruz moved up pretty dramatically. They were down like around 2 and 4%. Bush dropped from double digits to 9%, number four. Huckabee moved up a little bit to number six.
He is number six, but he's got 6 points popularity.
And then you got Walker, Fiorina, Kasich, Rubio, and the others trailing even further behind. So this does show that Trump is maintaining some momentum, and he was in Iowa at the Iowa State Fair last night. If you watched any of the news, I'm sure you've seen him tooling around in this helicopter. He took some kids for rides, and made, certainly scored some points. And as I was watching some of the news clips about it, of course, Hillary was there too. And as Trump was walking around, you were seeing people wanting to do selfies with him and yelling, "We love you, Donald, and we love you," and this and that. And as Hillary's walking around, you see some interest, not nearly as big of a following. And every night, I heard at least one guy say, "You think you're going to prison?"
Mike McBath was in Iowa.
It's never a good thing, though, when your candidate is being asked that particular question on a campaign trail, and even worse, when it makes it into the media.
Ooh.
But did you read or hear in the news about this 3-year-old kid that was critically ill and needs all kinds of machinery, and the airlines refused to take him on board? Trump sent his own private plane and flew this kid to the hospital.
When was this?
That was over this last week.
No, I did not know that. Sounds like the kind of thing he would do, though.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody does know he's a very charitable individual. So it's not surprising. So anyway, as I said, we'll get back to those candidates later on in the show. First, I want to talk about Bubba and B.O. And I think Bubba is worried about Bo. So when we come back, we'll talk more about that.
It is the American Adversaries Sunday Night Tour, departing from Pier number 1520.
Pier 66, right. Isn't it?
Well, we're at 1520 WBZW, or, of course, at AM660TheAnswer.com. Thanks for listening. Keep it here. Oh, sorry. Aubrey's doing the survey, so I'll take you back. Now it's spelled Nostra, N-O-S-T-R-A, Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S. Take that survey, folks, at AM660TheAnswer.com, and let people know, let 660 know, who you like and why you like them, even if it's not us, even if it's that burned fat guy. But no, it's not. It's not. It's the American Adversaries on a Sunday night 3-hour tour. Chris, what do we got coming up now?
All right. Once again, thanks for being with us, folks. Bubba and B.O. played golf yesterday, I guess in Martha's Vineyard. And so, of course, I didn't hear anybody speculate as to why, so I'm going to speculate as why. Why would Barack Obama and Bill Clinton suddenly be golfing buddies?
To take some money from the president?
Yeah, no, I think it's something a little bit more important than that. By the way, the one clip that I saw, and it was a very brief clip, so obviously it was just a snapshot of the whole day. But during that clip, first there was a couple of scenes. One was Clinton and Obama standing together, kind of holding clubs but not shooting golf, and it was your standard, photo session, for the photographers. And then Clinton piles into the golf cart, and he drives, and Obama walks. So I don't know what that says, but it probably means that they're not really buddy-buddy. Or, they had an argument over who was going to drive or not, right? Because all of this, things would be read into this. So I'm reading some stuff into this, all right?
So are you being racist now that the white guy is driving, the black guy has to walk?
If he was racist, the black guy would be driving and Bill would be in the back.
No.
No, that's Clinton would driving be, her crazy.
Clinton would be driving, the clubs would be in the front seat next to him, and Obama would be sitting in the back, right? All right, no, that's not what happened. But what I do think happened is Bill Clinton went there basically to find out what's going on with
Joe Biden.
All the talk recently about Joe Biden getting into the race has gotten Bill Clinton panicky, because he knows that Joe Biden would be seen as a credible alternative, if you will, to Hillary Clinton by the Democrat.
Credible alternative?
Let me finish. By the Democrat establishment, the Democratic donors, and the Democratic field workers, the party, the mainstream itself.
He has not even said a word about wanting to get in the race, definitively. And he's already polling better than 12 out of the 17 Republican candidates by not doing anything.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it is. And I'm sure Bill Clinton was at some point either subtly or bluntly reminding Barack Obama, had it not been for his speech at the convention, remember? That big speech at the convention, which kind of took all the focus away from, what was it, the anti-Jewish vote? Remember that anti-Israeli vote or something they had at the Democratic convention?
I remember them throwing God out of the platform for a while
well,
and then
maybe that
changing
was it.
Their mind.
Yeah,
there,
maybe
yeah.
that's what I'm thinking about here. There was, you know, it wasn't really a smooth convention until Clinton spoke. And then, you know, then he kind of saved the day. And so I'm sure he was reminding Barack Obama, hey, you know, I was there for you when you needed me, you know, and we got to work together on this thing. And I'm sure Barack Obama was noncommittal.
Why should he be?
Yeah.
He's got nothing to gain or to lose by being buddy-buddy with Bill.
He's leaving Hillary out there as a red herring to draw all the flack.
I was going to say, he's in his mind, he's got everything to lose by buddying up to Bill Clinton.
Sure.
For one, his wife is on the verge of being indicted. And or at least let's just say there's a criminal investigation going on, and that's never a good thing in politics, right? It's like when your candidate is asked, do you think you're going to go to prison?
Unless you're the mayor of Chicago.
A good sign.
If you're the mayor of Chicago, it's kind of a prerequisite.
I suppose.
But hold on. I mean, this person in charge of the Justice Department, she's not any better than Eric Holder was.
But,
so, you know, I'm expecting them to find nothing to indict her with.
Well, what I'm expecting is that the investigation will last.
Until 2017.
And it doesn't matter in the end if they find anything. What matters is that the investigation has started and will go on. And her boss, you're talking about Loretta Lynch, her boss is Barack Hussein Obama. And Barack has political motives here that go beyond justice, beyond legal. But if those sort of things work in his favor, I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton did, will be his excuse at the end of the day.
Well, Hillary's going to get thrown under the bus.
Well, that's
she's
what...
being out there as a red herring to have the Republicans spend money on and to create a fuss about. Instead of the Republicans going after the Democrat Party and their platform, they're going after Hillary.
Yeah.
And... when the time is close, Hillary's going to be pushed to the side, and Barack's going to nominate someone else to run for president, get his backing, and the base will follow that person.
Well, we've talked about this before. I believe I said something very similar a long time ago when Hillary did get in after I'd been predicting that she wouldn't. I said, you know, but don't waste a lot of time going after Hillary. Go after the liberals. Go after the liberal ideology. Go after Barack Obama and what he has done. And I think you're onto something there. And I think that the Clintons might have suspected that, but were hoping that weren't true. And now are beginning to realize that, yes, it is. I guarantee you, when the news started to leak that Joe Biden was considering running for president, and these stories about Bo and the deathbed request and all that, I guarantee you Bill Clinton's face turned red as a beet, and that man was mad and cussing and throwing stuff around, and his ire was going to be directed at Barack Obama for double crossing him. You know, we had a deal, as I'm sure what Bill Clinton is thinking. And so I'm sure that that's why there was a golf outing this weekend, is they're talking about the political future of the Democratic Party. Of course, Bill Clinton wants it to be the Clintons again. Barack Obama, in my opinion, and more people I'm beginning to hear to say this now, does not. He does not want the Clintons to follow him into the White House.
I'm not sure if the best venue to air your political grievances and try to come to some agreement is... out in a field of grass with a big bag full of metal sticks.
Well,
we can pray for lightning.
We can. Hold them high, guys. Hold them high for the cameras.
Yeah. The book Blood Feud by Ed Klein. Remember when we did the Dumb and the Feckless series?
Oh, yes.
And we need to bring that back, by the way. But
there's still lots of dumbness and fecklessness going on.
Yeah, absolutely. But there was a point in the Clinton-Obama relationship where they had scheduled a golf outing together. And just like yesterday, there were two others with them. Yesterday, I think it was Vernon Jordan. And I don't remember the other person playing. But Vernon Jordan is a longtime Democratic bigwig insider. He's been around since in government since, I think, even before the Carter administration.
Wasn't he DNC chairman for a short time,
too? I believe he was. And I know he had a position in the Carter administration, too, although I can't remember what it was. And by the way, Jimmy Carter is probably not long for this world either, from my understanding. But that aside, I'm sure the discussion today was, you know, what's going on here? And the other guys were probably there, more or less as mediators. I mean, Vernon Jordan probably set the whole thing up, because I guarantee you there is unease in the Democratic Party over Hillary Clinton. Huge unease. And did you find that other golfer there, Johnny? Mm-hmm. I didn't see. Look, all right. By the way, the U.S. Open is going on too, I think, isn't it? Right now?
Yeah, one of those big tournaments, the one that Tiger's not in. Oh, wait, that's just about
that's
every tournament this year.
Ooh. By the way, I saw in that clip, I saw Barack Obama hit out of a bunker, it looked like, you know, and his short game looked like it's about as good as Tiger's right now.
Oh, my goodness.
It doesn't say much.
Not at all. We'll see what comes ahead, but I'm sure Barack Obama was telling Bill, you know, I'm sorry there, Bill, but, you know, it's Joe's decision to make. I don't have anything to do with it, right? And Clinton's going, well, I'm sure about that, but I'm sure you can talk to him too, can't you? Can't you sit down and talk to the man? So we'll see where it goes from here, but I think Aubrey's onto something there. I never thought Hillary Clinton was a candidate that was going to make it to the end, and I was hoping they knew it and wasn't going to put us through all this, but hey, they are, so what the hey.
Well, when all is said and done, you didn't think she'd even announce to run, but you may be right in that she may not be around come the end of the primary campaign.
Yeah, no, I think it is. I'm beginning to think more and more it's going to be Joe Biden. I think that he is their best shot. He is their best shot.
Lord help this country.
And Johnny says it's the PGA Championship, not the Open. It is a major, though, yes? Mm-hmm. It's one of the four majors.
One of four, yeah. Yeah, and Tiger didn't make the cut, that's for sure. So, yeah, I think that, you know, the Democrats, you know, like I said, you know, when people in Iowa are shouting at your candidate and it makes it on the TV, do you think you're going to prison?
Mm-hmm.
That's like a death knell for your candidacy.
By the way, the CNN Iowa presidential caucus poll, Clinton at 50%, Sanders at 31%, and the yet unannounced Joe Biden at 12% before even saying he's getting in the race.
Yeah. So, and he says he's going to say in September, so we shouldn't be in suspense for too long, and we shall see. But once again, I don't think that Joe Biden's going to be a pushover. A lot of it is going to be have to do with who are the Republicans going to put up there as our candidate, as their candidate. So it's Joe Biden is, he wasn't in the Senate as long as he's been in the Senate for any, you know, just any reason at all. And he'll definitely draw the black vote. They'll come out for Joe Biden. All right, so stick around. We'll be right back.
Back from the dressing room to restretch their tights. Here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversary on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Yeah, right now we are only on 1520 WBZW on the airwaves. As soon as we go back up on AM 660 The Answer and FM 105.5, we'll certainly let you know in case you get better reception there. In the meantime, thanks for being with us. 407-774-8255 is the number. You are listening to the American Adversaries. I am Christopher Hart, along with Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Aubrey Kahn. We're here live in the studio tonight. And it is now time for Nostradamus. Do we have that ready to go there, Jeff?
Nostradamus.
Yeah, we do.
Here he is.
Predict.
Uh-huh.
The past.
Thank you, 5 Minute Professor. What a happy guy he is. The Boston Red Sox just set some records this past couple of days, scoring something like 35 runs in 2 days.
22 yesterday, I think.
Yeah, crazy after another like 15 before that.
Yeah.
My Mets, not so much. But let's not talk about the past. Let's talk about the past, where Nostradamus looks back at some of the stories we were going to get to, but never really got to. And since I've been off for the past couple of days, I don't even know all the stories you guys have talked about, but let's get to one of them. You know the logo for AT&T? You know the one that looks like a Death Star?
Yeah.
Well, it might be real appropriate. The NSA's ability to spy on vast quantities of internet traffic has relied on a decades-long partnership with AT&T. Not Verizon, not Metro PCS, not, well, let's see, what's some of the other ones there?
T-Mobile.
Sprint.
T-Mobile, Sprint, all those, Net10-0, yep. No. AT&T, the NSA's top secret budget in 2013 for the AT&T partnership was more than twice that of the next largest such program, according to documents that were just released. The company installed surveillance equipment in at least 17 of its internet hubs on American soil, far more than the next biggest competitor, similarly sized Verizon. And AT&T engineers were the first to try out new surveillance technologies invented by the eavesdropping agency. So as far as all these telecommunications companies saying, well, we couldn't do anything about it. We fought as hard as we could, but, you know, they're the government. Now, AT&T is saying, yeah, sure, we did it, and we'd do it again. Yeah. They're our partners.
They provided billions of emails. And all the emails that were came and went from the UN, which I thought that was pretty cool, though.
Yeah, an earlier version of this story said that the number of emails was in the trillions, but that's not true. It was only in the billions. Mm. So if you had anything to do with any kind of email you sent through an AT&T service, well, the NSA knows about it now.
Be afraid.
What's one of the problems Donald Trump has? Well, people aren't taking him seriously because he's not a serious candidate. Well, he was out on the morning talk show circuit today, and he actually has released a detailed immigration policy position paper. Have you read this paper?
Nope.
There's a lot of stuff in it. It's comprehensive. It includes things like there must be a wall across the southern border. A nation that does not serve its own citizens is not a nation. The paper, clearly influenced by Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, contains three major parts: how a president would handle border security, interior enforcement, and legal immigration policy as it relates to getting Americans back to work. Perhaps most important, Trump used the term immigration reform to describe what he'll do, taking that term away from those who would use it to push for a fundamental transformation of the U.S. with regard to immigration policy. So he at least takes away the argument, he talks a good game, but let's see the details. Well, this position paper is several hundred pages long and has lots of details in it. So,
by the way, he also said that he would, what's the word? My vocabulary has just gone out the window these days. He would rescind Barack Obama's executive orders having to do with immigration, including the DREAM Act executive order.
Sure, because if you can enact something with the stroke of your pen, well, your successor can de-enact it by the same stroke of the pen.
Right.
If you're not going to go through Congress to get things passed, well, you're not going to need to go through Congress to get them taken away.
By the way, only he and Ted Cruz so far have been adamant about doing that sort of thing.
That's 2 out of 17. It's not so good.
Puts them toward the top, though, in my book.
Mm.
Well, you got to also remember that most of those other 17 campaigned on getting rid of Obamacare and defunding it and getting rid of illegal immigration. And all they've done is bow down to Obama and give him the funds and the permission to do it. So,
well, that's the sort of thing we're going to be talking about in the next hour when we assess their strengths and weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right.
And finally, do you know the name David Denson?
Don't believe I do.
Well, you will. David Denson is now the Michael Sam of Major League Baseball.
Oh.
David Denson is a first baseman outfielder. He plays more than one position for the Brewers rookie level affiliate in Helena.
You sure he's not a pitcher or a catcher?
No. He's a first baseman and outfielder. Yeah. Mm. And he plays for their affiliate in Helena, Montana. Go Handbaskets. He revealed on Saturday night in a story that appeared in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that he is gay. He said he talked to his teammates. They gave him the confidence he needed to come out to them. He said his teammates told him, "You're still our teammate. You're still our brother. You're still a ball player at the end of the day. We don't treat you any differently. We got your back."
Oh.
He has now become, Aubrey. He now becomes the first active player affiliated with a major league organization to come out publicly. Late major leaguer Glenn Burke's homosexuality was revealed to the public after he retired in baseball in 1982. and the current MLB Ambassador of Inclusion, Billy Bean, who played in the big leagues from 87 to 95, also came out after he retired. Denson is the Brewers' 27th ranked prospect, according to MLB.com. And you know what's going to keep him in the major leagues? Not who he sleeps with, but hitting, fielding, base running. If he's good, he'll stick. And if he's not, he'll be Michael Sam, who got dropped from two teams and just decided to walk away from Canadian football.
He did.
To spend more time reflecting on his future.
Perhaps he didn't like getting knocked around on the field out there.
Maybe not.
All right, I got one or two here, and Aubrey Khan's got something, too. Congress has been up, too. Have you ever heard of Kate McHugh?
No.
You never heard of Kate McHugh?
No. Can't think of who
Aubrey,
that might be.
Kate McHugh.
Does not ring a bell.
Probably no reason for it, too, but she has got a distinct honor was bestowed upon her recently. She is going to be the first major cruise ship captain, woman. Cruise
really?
Ship captain.
Captainette,
yeah.
You mean.
I don't know how they say that, but I think they still call her a captain. Yeah. But, yeah, she'll be the captain of I think it's Carnival Cruise Lines, to be honest with you. I didn't write it down. I just wrote her name down. But congratulations are in the store for Kate McHugh driving around one of them big boats.
Women driver? I'm not going to go there. Just not going to go there.
You better not. And how about the CIA? Dirty deeds.
They are done dirt cheap, aren't they?
You've heard, of course, the AC/DC song. The CIA, the administration has admitted this past week that the CIA is indeed working with countries that employ enhanced interrogation techniques.
Can I ask a question? Haven't we always done that?
Well, not supposed to under a president like Barack Obama, are we?
We've always done that. Well, we're always going to do that.
That's right. We work with countries that torture prisoners.
Well, and we don't say anything about terrorist organizations that put people in cages and then drown them in lakes. But we do complain about waterboarding.
Well, why shouldn't we work with countries that torture their citizens the way our government tortures us? I mean, what goes around comes around, right?
Yeah, but waterboarding's a little bit different to drowning people in lakes.
Indeed. So, Aubrey's got a story out of Congress here, what they've been up to recently.
Yes, bless
it. This is the Congress that we elected to rein in Barack Obama.
Well, here it is. The alarming new passport laws that are being snuck through Congress right now. We have a situation where the U.S. Senate plans to one-up its counterparts, though, because the House has passed, by a voice vote, the ability for the State Department to rescind and cancel your passports. But the State Department's going getting it even better through the U.S. Senate because they're allowing the IRS to get involved. And revocation or denial of passports in case of certain unpaid taxes. The provision would authorize the federal government to deny the application for a passport when an individual has more than $50,000 indexed for inflation of unpaid federal taxes, which the IRS is collecting through enforcement action. It would also permit the federal government to revoke a passport for such individuals. Before revocation, however, the federal government would be allowed to limit a previously issued passport only for return travel to the United States or to issue a limited passport that only permits return travel to the United States. This provision would be effective January 1 of next year, and it's estimated to raise $398 million over the next 10 years.
Well, see, I don't have to worry about that. They took mine away a long time ago.
Well,
you're stuck
because
here, huh?
You're a radical.
Yes, that little misunderstanding down in San Juan.
I'd love to hear that story one of these nights.
This, we're right out of time, though. How about that?
Coming up right after a short break, a little profit center break, we're going to have Carl Jackson on because Carl's Corner is next. You remember Carl? He'll be with us.
Yeah.
Hi-yo! Yeah. The American Adversaries Sunday night 3-hour tour. Would you look and see who is on our hotline. It is the man, the legend, the myth, in his own mind at least, Mr. Carl Jackson with Carl's Corner. Hello, Carl. What up?
How's it going? How's it going, Master Dennis? What up, everyone? I don't think that highly of myself. But anyway, I enjoyed the introduction regardless. Listen, if I were to ask you guys, what has been the most transformative years in American history to slant the nation towards leftism, what time frame would you guys guess that would be?
I would guess the early part of the 20th century when you had the progressive movement going on, and then the early part of the 21st century when you had the progressive movement going on.
Those are pretty good guesses. Actually, the most transformative years in American history will be between 1970 through 1974, even transforming the country more so than the progressive era and its entirety, the New Deal, and Harry Truman's Fair Deal. The reason I say that is this has actually been a study that's been done by the Heritage Foundation in 1988 and also in 1989 by a gentleman by the name of John Adams, ironically. But here's the basic deal. Last week I wrote an article for WorldNet Daily entitled "The EPA Peed in the Pool and No One Cares," or "And They Don't Care," I should say. And that's exactly, not only did they damage the Animas River, albeit temporarily, the fact of the matter is they don't care, and they won't care because there's no accountability. And for those that believe that these agencies have been developed to help American culture, they're absolutely wrong. So here's the basic premise. Between 1970 and 1974, Richard Nixon augmented several agencies in the U.S. government, these bureaucratic agencies, and he implemented, I believe it was a total of 16 more. There were nine that were absolutely devastating that he implemented, one being the EPA, another being OSHA. There are several more for the sake of time I won't go into. But in a sense, I believe he thought he may have been doing a good thing, and people need to understand that many of the agencies, there were approximately right over 50 at the time before he entered into office, were already there. He tried to augment those. He added more. And what happened is basically we created, by doing this, we almost created a one-party state. And that's because for the first time, both the Democrat and the Republican Party, with the help of these agencies, businesses began lobbying and paying politicians in order to escape some of the regulations of the agencies. So before, I've heard plenty of times before that, hey, you know, the parties are the same. There's no difference between them. And I disagreed with that because platform-wise, there is plenty between them. Unfortunately, the corruption in Washington is so deep, mainly because of these agencies that have been created, that now these politicians, no matter what party they in, typically bow down to the businesses that are trying to buy their way, if you will, through the regulation. So when the EPA peed in the pool, when the EPA had the large spill in the Animas River or what have you, there'll be no effect. There'll be no consequence. We've seen Gina McCarthy come out and make statements where she basically could care less. In a sense, she's already blamed the mine because that was already there. So they were just doing their job, and they just so happened to make it a boo-boo that was absolutely huge. But with these agencies that have come into being as a result of both Richard Nixon and the Democrats that actually placed most of them into being, this is what has happened. He's outlined five things in this study that he did. Actually, it was a lecture at the time. But those agencies did five things. Number one, and I'll go through all of them, and then I'll come back and explain some of the ridiculousness that exists as a result of them. Number one, a great increase in the economic burdens of government. Number two, the centralization of administration and a consequent weakening of the central government. That's a huge one, and I'll explain why shortly. Number three, an unlimited and unconstitutional extension of regulatory authority. Number four, social and political debilitation. And number five, the corruption of American politics, which I've already gone into to some extent. So this isn't just a matter of opinion that I'm speaking of. This is actual fact, and this is what worries me about the politics of today, because quite frankly, as dangerous as I believe illegal immigration is, and I'm kind of going with Ann Coulter on that, but it's almost a singular issue. I don't feel like you can fix much anything else if you don't fix that. But I'm also realizing that you can't fix much of anything whatsoever if you don't fix these bureaucratic agencies, and the EPA just happens to be one of those deals. So going back to number one, a great increase in the economic burden. Here's an example that the gentleman gave, John Adams gave. Basically, the EPA or the EPA, and so did some other agencies, they became venture capitalists, if you will. They started mixing with business. For example, people and entrepreneurs were out building motorcycles, building different types of motorcycles, trying to figure out safer motorcycles for whether it's going to be elderly people, novice to ride, so on, et cetera. Well, the EPA decided to get in that business, and what happened is the federal government decided to try to figure out what was the safest type of motorcycle to build. And so they went with a two-wheel. They went with a three-wheel. This was back in 1970, I believe. They went with a three-wheel. Eventually, they did the study, and they said, okay, we've come to the conclusion that cars are safer than motorcycles. Now, this study at the time, it doesn't sound like a lot because we're used to dealing with billions and trillions, unfortunately, but this study at the time cost them $250,000 in 1970. So that was a lot of money back then, and they just came to the conclusion that cars are safer than motorcycles. Nevertheless, the bidding and the intrusion into American business had begun. The centralization of administration is number two, and a consequent weakening of the central government. In other words, the federal government gave up its own power to regulatory agencies. As a result, OSHA got into the toilet bowl business. Now, we can see this happening today, not as far as agencies are concerned, but we know that John Boehner and the Congress and McConnell has given up some of their power. They've given up some of their power to the executive branch. Well, unfortunately, before that happened, they've given up much of their power, and I'm not talking about John Boehner, but I'm talking about the Congress of in the early 70s. They've given up much of their power to these agencies. So no longer did you have you have the people, and then you had a centralized government that existed in Washington, per se. You had a centralized administration. And so as a result of having a centralized administration that was now going through these regulatory agencies, they forced states to start abiding by these regulatory agencies. So their vote became less important. Their vote was watered down, diluted, weakened, so on, et cetera. And that was a result of these departments that came into being. So this is a huge one, because now we have centralized administration. We have politicians that can go in office, they can win our vote, they can go fight for something, some idea, some concept, and it doesn't matter if that concept backs into a bureaucratic agency, then their fight is over, because that agency has more power than the people that we've sent into office. And this is by their own doing. This is their own fault. And this is what lobbyists understand, and this is why we're getting closer to a one-party nation. Number three, an unlimited and unconstitutional extension of regulatory authority. For example, under affirmative action, when it first kicked in, basically you had local schools saying if they were white schools, predominantly white schools, they had to have black teachers. If they were predominantly black schools, they had to have some white teachers. This was under affirmative action. What the people did was they just lied about their race so they could stay in the neighborhoods that they were in. But what we see is the federal government using these agencies to socially engineer the United States of America. And we have not got away from that. So we can hoop and holler about all these political issues. I'm here to tell you, until someone comes in and starts saying, I'm tearing down the EPA, I'm tearing down the Department of Education, so on, et cetera, these big things that Reagan used to talk about, it's not going to happen. Reagan himself couldn't destroy these industries, even though he wanted to and legitimately tried. Now, a lot of people knock him. But what they don't realize is these regulatory agencies already had their octopus arms in local state government. Once that happened, it was over. There was nothing Reagan himself could do about it. Number four, social and political, and I'll go real quick here, social and political debilitation. So which this led the EPA slapping emission control devices on cars, which made them, as you all know, we all know, less reliable. And I'm not kidding about this. They decided to slap EPA emissions on motorcycles, even though the motorcycles didn't have the standards needed or required at that time even to have these regulations slapped on them. They decided to do it out of fairness because people with cars complain. So, and this is a direct quote from at the time from one of the people, I forget the person's name, from the EPA. But out of fairness, they decided to regulate motorcycles too. This is the way our government began working and has worked since to a large extent. And of course, I've already spoken about the corruption of American politics, but these industries regulated by these agencies even created PACs in order to fund the politicians that would help them gain the new system. That's largely what we see today. I mean, not necessarily just the agency systems, but we see that with the name escapes me right now, and I knew it would, the Chamber of Commerce, where our politicians are easily bought because now you have a bunch of businessmen that are trying to game the system. And this is what our system has become. So I got to tell you, I'm a Ted Cruz supporter.
Okay. All right, Kat, Carl, we're out of time. If you want to stick around, we'll be right back.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Yep, it's another hour of radio fun. The American Adversary Sunday night three-hour tour. Nostra Denison studio with Christopher Hart, Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundations, Jeff Sennis behind the glass, and Johnny Guns getting ready for his WTF news later in the show. And on the line, we're going to go back to the man who had the corner before the top of the hour. Now he has the corner following the top of the hour, the man who goes around the corner, Carl Jackson.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, we got interrupted by the clock. You're getting ready to say something about Ted Cruz, there, Carl.
Yeah, no. I was just going to say that I'm a Ted Cruz guy. I think people know that. But the bottom line is, I haven't heard any of these candidates, quite frankly, talk about disrupting or dismantling some of these bureaucratic agencies. So I'm prone to say, you know, who knows? Maybe I'm going a little too far here, but I got to be honest with you. I'm at this point, after reading, and this stuff is extensive, the lecture. It's several pages long with tons of research. And the more I found out, and the more our money and the way the government handled money shifted during 1970 to 1974, it leads me to believe that the only person that has seriously even addressed the issue since that time period has been Ronald Reagan. And aside, and you know, despite his goal and his willingness to try to fight against it, it was all for naught, if you will. And if you consider that, these institutions have been ingrained and embedded in our culture for 50 plus years, we don't even have a candidate talking about them right now. So I got to tell you, after reading this, I'm thoroughly unimpressed once again with everyone, and I'm waiting for someone to start speaking out about the centralization of these bureaucracies in Washington, D.C.
Well, that's a pretty good segue into what I intended to talk about this hour, because I want to talk about the candidates and who's qualified or not, so to speak, to be the next president. And I certainly think that that is something that we should take into consideration. And basically what I'm looking for here is leadership. And I think that's what you're talking about at the end of the day here, Carl, is sure. Leadership against this particular problem. Because you're right, I liken it to sort of like a shadow government. Doesn't matter who we elect if the same people are running the same agencies, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's going to have to be somebody who's really willing to shake things up from top
Absolutely.
To bottom. And by the way, this brings me, you mentioned Ted Cruz, it brings me to a point I wanted to make about him, because he did move up significantly in all of the polls, the most recent one being Fox National poll, showing him at 10% in number three. And once again, the top three being quote-unquote outsiders, if you will, and I'm including Cruz as an outsider. All right, because he's not your typical politician. As a matter of fact, from articles I've read, his fellow senators will not even have lunch with him in the Senate dining room. So I think that kind of makes him an outlier. I think that kind of makes him an outsider.
Absolutely.
In the debate, you know, because we didn't think that he did that great in the debate. We thought he'd be more fiery, you know, more snapping off some answers and being, you know, and he was, but he wasn't. But there was one response that he gave, and I can't remember. It might have been in his closing.
Yes. It was in his closing.
Go ahead. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. What he did in the closing, he said the best line of the night by far, and no one talked about it. And what he did was gave a plan of what he would do to start demolishing big government, starting with President Obama's executive orders, every single illegal executive order. Now, people, this is the deal. You have to understand this. I believe, and I'm not just saying this because he's my guy right now, I think he's the only one that knows how to do it from day one. Because keep in mind, this was a man in the solicitor's office of the attorney general in Texas that actually fought against the Bush administration to do it. This is what a lot of people forget. So I appreciate the fact that a lot of people are campaigning and saying great things. I know that there's one person on stage that has gone to Washington and actually done it. And that's just a fact. That's not a matter of it. That's just a fact.
Well,
hey, Bruce has been the only one.
And I think that's why people responded to him in the polls, was that one answer. That's what people are dying to hear. Because I think people instinctively know what the article that you quoted and you were talking about is all about. We all know that government and these government agencies are far too big, far too involved in our lives. The question is, how the hell do we get the SOBs out, right? And so that's where it comes down to picking the right candidate at the top who can not only put in motion the forces that will do it, but can make the case for it. Because,
Absolutely.
You know, what has changed since 1970 through 74 are the political winds. And it has moved dramatically to the left, but now people can see clearly what the left politics and policies bring about. So, you know, there's a lot of dissatisfaction in the land with government, with big government. And so perhaps the time is more opportune now. But nonetheless, it's still going to take someone who is dedicated to doing just that, because the forces, as you say, this has become a two-party problem. So the forces against it are going to be coming from all kinds of directions. We're talking about being caught in a crossfire. This is going to be caught in is there a such thing as a quadruple fire, right? So, but excellent. Great work, Carl. Appreciate it. And keep trucking.
All right, thank you. God bless you guys.
All right, thanks for being on the show. Once again, that's Carl Jackson, and you can find him at carljacksonradio.com and at his Facebook page, Carl Jackson Radio, isn't it on Facebook?
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah. All right. You know, and that brings us right to what I wanted to talk about. I did want to talk about who's qualified to be president of the United States, and I want to talk about all the candidates. And we can go through them, I think, fairly quickly here. Basically, what I'm looking for is strengths and weaknesses, and I want y'all's input. Anybody out there in the listening audience, if you'd like to give us some input, 407-774-8255 is the number. But let's start with the easy ones, the ones I think that we can say pretty much, although decent people are probably not qualified at this time to be president of the United States. Let's start with Jim Gilmore. He was the last one to get in. He was former governor of Virginia. That gives him some executive experience. He was also a counterintelligence officer for about 4 years. So that gives him some, shall we say, foreign policy or at least an intelligence expert tease working with the intelligence agencies. But above and beyond that, what does he have to offer? I don't know much above and beyond that. So those would be his strengths. His weaknesses are he nobody knows who he is. And even though he would be a decent president, it's going to be very, very difficult for him to get elected to be president. So in that sense, I don't think that he's going to be the guy.
Is there any chance, is there one in a thousand chance that he is going to end up maybe doing well in a debate or maybe putting together a good campaign commercial that might allow him to jump up into the next tier of candidates?
You know who he reminds me of? Be honest with you. Duncan Hunter.
Okay. All he's missing is a little profile and a whole bunch of money.
And that's right. And so, you know, what happened to Duncan? And Duncan lasted, what, through a debate or two?
He got it almost all the way to the Florida primaries, and he had to pull out.
All right. I'm sorry. He did last longer than what Jim Gilmore is going to last.
That was easy.
Okay, let's move on.
Unfortunately. George Pataki, former governor of New York, once again, some gubernatorial executive experience. Being the governor of New York, obviously you're going to rub elbows with some pretty high-profile characters, so let's give him a little bit of foreign policy expertise. But once again, above and beyond that, he does not have, and this goes for Gilmore too, and this is one reason why they're down here at the bottom of the poll. They don't have that pizzazz, for lack of a better word.
A lot of the other candidates, because we've seen them on TV, we've heard them speak, we kind of know a little bit about their personality. When you say some candidates' names, an image comes to mind, a point of view comes to mind. When you say George Pataki, your mind just kind of goes blank. And I lived in New York when he was governor, so I kind of know him, but I really don't.
Decent governor of New York, but if you can't generate attention for yourself, how are you going to lead the nation? Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham has great foreign policy expertise. He's pretty much right on when it comes to foreign policy, but he is not, his personality type is too weak to do what we need to do in terms of what Carl is talking about, making the changes in the domestic policy and leading us out of this morass, domestically speaking.
You have to give him this, though. He knows how to cave into Democrats.
Well, and there's that, too.
So why should we elect a man who's going to let the Democratic leadership in the Senate and the House have their way? Even though they're not the majority.
Yeah. Okay. Chris Christie. Chris Christie, once again, governor of New Jersey. So he has some good, you know, executive experience, has no foreign policy experience, but he is a smart man. I will give him that. He is a quick thinker. He is a take charge type of guy. But unfortunately, his political baggage is going to dog him. And he will not get. He will not be able to get people to rally behind him.
That hug
does it. It says it all. Says it all.
He's a Mets fan, but that doesn't make up for it. That hug just overwhelms it.
Rand Paul. Rand Paul is fading fast in the polls. I think he's shown that he. Of all the candidates, he kind of reminds me of the one that's most clownish. And part of the reason for that, to be honest with you, is his hairdo. I just can't get past that.
I think of Danny Kaye.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
in the Walter Mitty series of movies.
And he is all over the place when it comes to foreign policy. And so it seems not hard enough for him to really find his place on the campaign trail. How's he going to lead the country? Rick Santorum, although he is a got the right ideology, he really doesn't have the experience. You know, being a senator for a couple of times, what leadership skills did he show in the Senate?
A whole lot more than our current president.
Oh, sure, but that's a really low bar to set. There are other candidates with Santorum's point of view, with Santorum's right on all the right issues, but with a better resume.
And so I would deem all of those men unqualified for what we need. Perhaps in a past time, they would all be qualified to be president. Certainly, they're more qualified than Hillary Clinton, even Barack Obama, but they are not qualified for what we need right now.
We'll be back with some more better candidates right after this.
Oh, yes, we are. Just like our listeners. They are sexy and smart because...
Stop harassing our listeners.
Because I can see you through the radio. All right, we're talking about the Republican candidates for 2016. If you have an opinion, you want to tell us who you think is electable or who is not electable, give us a call, 407-774-8255. We ran down Gilmore, Pataki, Graham, Christie, Paul, and Santorum in the last segment. And now, Chris, who's next in your microscope?
All right, okay, we'll get to that. But real quick, the game just got over. It was, what was the score there, Johnny?
5-3, Texas wins.
All right, so that means they'll be going into the post-game show. So it'll be a while yet still, but when we do go up on AM 660, The Answer, and FM 105.5, we'll let you know. You know, I was watching some of the talking head shows this morning, and one of the common themes seems to be who's qualified to be president. And, of course, they all pretty much consensus. And this goes from many of the conservative talking heads and the liberals alike. Donald Trump is not qualified to be president. So I decided tonight we'll talk about maybe who is qualified to be president. And qualified in the sense that not only could they be a president, but could they do what this country needs to turn it a round. And I believe that that is the more important question. See, to me, it's not enough just to get any old Republican elected. You know, Carl talked in his corner about how 1970 to 74 was the big, you know, turn in the country toward progressivism. Well, who was president? Old Milhouse, right? Richard Milhouse Nixon. And he set these things in motion. He was a Republican, last I saw. All right? So it's not just a matter of any old Republican. We cannot take that tack. That's why I had great respect when Donald Trump raised his hand at that debate. If I had been at that debate, I'm surprised Rand Paul did. I would have. Why should I vote for Republican if all I'm going to get is more Democrat stuff? Right? I might as well stay home. Because if I'm going to vote knowing that a Republican is just going to be Democrat light, aren't I saying at the end of the day that I accept that? No, I do not.
You're accepting the worst of the better of two evils, still evil.
And you give up all your negotiating power.
Exactly, which is what Trump wasn't willing to do. By the way, he hinted today that he may do so soon, though. In other words, plan the pledge to support whatever Republican. But having said that, that's why I don't think Jim Gilmore, George Pataki, Lindsey Graham, Chris Christie, Rand Paul, or Rick Santorum are strong enough leaders, even if some of them, like Rand Paul and Santorum, and to some extent Christie, would like to make big changes. I don't think that they have leadership skills to do it. And regardless of their experience, they just do not have it. So that brings us to Scott Walker, once again, governor. This time, you know, this guy's got a reputation for, quote-unquote, beating Democrats.
He's won 3 elections in 3 years.
He has, because of the recall. He's fought the unions and won.
In a blue state.
Yeah, he has. But his delivery, once again, is so low-key. We need someone bigger than life, okay? And he is smaller than life. I mean, the guy is just, back in the 60s and 70s, he would have been a great guy for a Brill Cream commercial. All right? He's a nice guy. All right? He's a good governor, but he does not have that powerful personality that we need at this time. We need someone who is powerful and dynamic. And unfortunately, he does not come across as such, nor does Kasich. John Kasich is, once again, an effective governor, but he reminds me of the Pillsbury Doughboy. You know, Chris Christie reminds me, by the way, of the Michelin tire guy. But John Kasich reminds me of the Pillsbury Doughboy. You know, you poke him in the stomach and he giggles. Yeah. So he doesn't have that larger-than-life personality. Carly Fiorina's got a little bit of it. Okay? Mm-hmm. She does. And that's why she's effective. And that's why she got to be CEO of Hewlett-Packard. Because according to the people who know, it wasn't because of her business skills, but it was because of her leadership skills and her charisma. So she's got a little bit of it, but her business career has not been quite so stellar, and that would dog her, and so she would not be able to get the people to rally behind her like the person is going to need to do. Rick Perry, once again, a good governor for the state of Texas. But, you know, I forget what it is, but there was something about him that I wanted to say.
Well, he talked in the last campaign about what we were talking about in Carl's Corner.
I was making
getting
it,
rid of
the three branches of government or three things of government he wanted to get rid of.
That's right.
Johnny, in the last debate.
Johnny caught it.
If he only remembered it, right?
Right, exactly. And that will dog him. And so, you know, the liberals would eat him up even if he became president. Bobby Jindal. Bobby Jindal has got some charisma, but he's not got some charisma. I mean, he kind of confuses me. His delivery is oftentimes a little weak, and you can't be weak. You cannot show weakness. Marco Rubio. How should I say about Marco Rubio? He just doesn't have the experience, I guess is the best way to put it. He's a lifetime politician, which means he's an establishment guy. You don't make it in Florida politics as far as he's made it, spending a life in Florida politics without being an establishment guy. He started out as, what, a city councilman or a county commissioner? Then he became a member of the Florida House. Then he became a member of the Florida Senate. Then he became a member of the U.S. Senate. When has he done anything different? He just doesn't have the experience that we need. He's got a real smooth delivery. I'll grant you that. He's got a great story. I'll grant you that.
He looks great on TV.
And he looks great on TV. But once again, he would not. He doesn't have a strong enough personality. And he doesn't have the experience to make the personality that he has into that strong personality. So, and plus, it's just his.
What are his views on amnesty?
And you got that problem, too. So and he's a force to be reckoned with, but I think his day is yet to come. I don't think it's this time. I really don't, and it's for lack of real world experience. And so that brings us to what I would consider to be the top tier candidates. And let's start with Mike Huckabee. He jumped up in the Fox News poll, and he's jumped up a little bit in some of the other polls as well. And he's been a governor of a state. Now, yes, I know he raised taxes in that state, and he did some things that some of us conservatives would rather, you know, he did not have been associated with, but he did it. But one reason why I think that he has got more what it takes is he has the communication skills. He has the boldness of vision. If you look at the party platforms that have been proposed so far, other than Trump, he has the boldest ideas. He's talking about the fair tax. Mm-hmm. He's not talking about a flat tax. He's talking about the fair tax. That is the boldest because you do away with the IRS. You see, this begins the process of reversing what Carl was talking about.
Yeah, the flat tax basically brings the government, the IRS, down to one floor. But the fair tax just takes the foundation away entirely.
Pretty much.
Blows the whole thing up.
Exactly. Exactly. And basically, you end up with just some clerks there instead of investigators and things of
cash
that nature.
Cashing the checks that come in.
Exactly.
Realistically, how long do you think Huck will stay in this race? Because I'm looking at the money that people have raised so far. Huckabee's not even in the top 10. He's actually behind Jindal and Graham in money.
Yeah, and that's, I was getting ready to say that. His weakness is he's not generating, other than the debates, he's not generating the excitement that he's going to need to carry him forward. Having said that, though, with his communication skills and his boldness of ideas, we're going in the right direction now.
Another strike against him, at least in my eyes as a conservative, is his support of Common Core.
Which he now is adamantly opposed to.
Well,
but you're
right. He said that, it looked good when I started looking at it, but now it doesn't look so good.
Right.
That's bad judgment in my idea.
Well, and so, but that would, once again, be one of his weaknesses. All right. So let's move on to Jeb Bush, because he's number four in this Fox poll. Jeb Bush, once again, governor of the state of Florida. By my admission, he was a good governor of the state of Florida, except for the fact he left us with Charlie Crist, you know, to follow him. But other than that, I mean, he did stand up for Terry Schiavo over there. He did expand the voucher program here, or really got it going. And but then you got the Common Core, you got immigration, and you got the fact that the man won't stand up straight and show any doggone passion. You know, this is not the personality type that we need right now. The Democrats would eat him alive. You know, they would be calling him Jeb W or W Jeb or something like that. It will not. Just having him as president is not going to be good enough. And believe me, in the topsy-turvy, perverse world of politics, it could actually even be worse for conservatives. Sorry to say that, but it's the reality of the situation. If we don't put the right person in this time, Katie, bar the door. I mean, we are so far to the left with Barack Obama that we have got to take drastic action, and as Ted Cruz said, it's got to be taken on day one. That brings us to Ben Carson, but we're just about out of time, and I don't want to give any of these candidates short shrift, so we'll pick it up with Ben Carson. We'll talk about Ted Cruz and Donald Trump on the other side. So we're narrowing it down. And so really, to this point, I don't think we've come across the person that we need yet. I really do not. So we shall see if it is one of these last three: Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, or Ben Carson. And once again, if you have some input on this, please give us a call. 407-774-8255 is the number. And we get done with the Republicans, we'll talk about the Democrats in terms of which one of them might actually win were they to be the nominee.
Tell us who you like. Tell us who you don't like. Tell us if you like us. Go to AM660TheAnswer.com and take that survey. I did. Johnny did.
I did.
I voted for Johnny. He voted for me. You can vote for whoever you want. The phone number to call, 407.
Democrats and collusion.
I'm telling you, that's right.
That number is 407-774-8255. It's a Sunday night American Adversaries 3-hour tour. Keep listening. Live in the Hive. Thank you, B. Brian Blair, out of Tampa. The Sea American Adversaries, we guess I should say we're heading back towards port because it's already halfway through the show. Can you believe that? And we are up on the big stick, AM 660, The Answer, as well as, of course, that would be 105.5 FM. It's the American Adversaries, and we're here.
That's right.
So here we are. So here we go.
That's Nostradamus. Welcome to the show, folks. If you've been listening to the Rays game, we're sorry that the Rays lost if you're a Rays fan. But I hope you'll stick around and become a fan of the American Adversaries if you are not already. And if you've been listening on 1520 WBZW and you'd rather listen to us on FM 105.5 or AM 660 The Answer, now's the time, or during one of the breaks here coming up, you can certainly go down the dial and listen. And 407-774-8255 is the number because we are live coming to you from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. That was Nostradamus. I am Christopher Hart, along with Aubrey Kahn and Johnny Guns. Mm-hmm. And Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. And we want to wish Jeff Sinis' mother a happy birthday coming up this week.
Yay, so, happy birthday.
There you go. Happy birthday to Mama Bear.
He said it's your birthday, Mom.
All right. Okay, we've been talking this hour about, we talked a little bit about the first hour, about the meeting yesterday on the golf course between Bubba and B.O., and, of course, Bubba being Bill Clinton, B.O. being Barack Obama, Vernon Jordan, and who is the other one?
Ron Kirk.
Ron Kirk.
You know, Bubba and B.O., that sounds like the worst redneck radio morning show in the history.
Well, Bubba should use some deodorant.
Yeah, it could be, that's for sure. Bubba is worried about Bo, not B.O. Bo, but B.E.A.U. Bo. And that would be Bo's deathbed request to his father, Joe Biden, to run for president. Bubba is worried that B.O., that being Barack Obama, that Bo, will actually endorse and support Joe Biden, of course, being his vice president, being their sort of storied or patchy history. And so I guess Bubba wanted to meet with B.O. yesterday to sort of remind B.O. that Bubba came to his rescue the last campaign, gave that big endorsing speech for him on the convention floor. And I'm sure B.O. said, well, it's not my choice. It's Joe's choice. So we'll see what comes of all that. But I think the feud is alive and well between the Clintons and the Obamas. And I do think Joe Biden is going to get in. We're going to talk about the Democrats here in a minute, because this hour we've been talking about who's qualified to be president. And I've heard many people say, who's that, Aubrey? You raise
oh, no,
your hand.
Sorry, I'm not an American citizen. Sorry.
Yeah, you are an American citizen.
Well, I wasn't born here. And
well, you can certainly.
I can't forge my birth certificate.
But a lot of people have been saying Donald Trump is not qualified to be president. So I thought maybe we'd go down the list and see who is qualified to be president. Qualified, in my mind, means not only can you get elected to be president, but that you can actually be effective at governing for conservative causes, conservative principles, running the country effectively as president. And so the question is, who could fill those shoes of the Republicans? And even though the Republicans have a lot of fine people running for president, I don't think most of them can fill those shoes. I do not think Jim Gilmore, Pataki, Graham, Christie, Paul, Santorum, Walker, Kasich, Fiorina, Rubio, Perry, or Jindal, can any of them, can they fill those shoes? Mike Huckabee begins to, but I think there's still a lot of space left inside the shoe there. So that brings us to, we talked about Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush is one of the worst. And the only reason I'm talking about him after the others is because of his position in the poll. But in my opinion, he's one of the worst candidates of all.
He couldn't control a thing.
No, he would not be able to effectively be a president to do what we need to do. Because think of what the new president's going to have to fight against. And yeah, it's going to be a dogfight, and it's going to be every day, every single day, every minute of every day. You're going to have the liberal mainstream media. You're going to have all the Democratic forces out there. You're going to have Barack Obama, all of them being very vociferous about how, shall we say, ineffective, how impotent, how whatever the phrase is going to be, the new president is.
You mean they're not going to sit in the back seat and shut up and let the driver drive like Obama wanted the Republicans to do?
Oh, no, they ain't. And then there's Harry Reid or Chuck Schumer or whoever is going to be in charge of the Senate Democrats, who are going to make the Republicans' life a living hell, because they are going to filibuster everything. So it will take a 60-vote majority to get anything done short of executive action.
Well, unless they do what Harry Reid did.
Well, there will be limited. You're talking about using the budget, the budgetary tactics,
the budget reconciliation,
right?
And
right,
not allowing.
But then again, we got. Let's see, who's running the Republican side?
Harry Reid.
All right. So, in other words, and we've talked about this on the show before, the Republicans are always reluctant to do what the Democrats do. And that is, in my opinion, wield power effectively. They do not know how or are not willing to wield power effectively. That's why I think that most of these candidates would not be able to muster the forces, shall we say, to be able to wield power effectively. Their personalities are not large enough, or they're too abrasive, or they're not experienced enough.
It's kind of simple, though, because all they have to do is be willing to do what Barack Obama did. Be willing to use the pen.
And this phone.
Be willing to use the phone.
And?
But you see, they all listen to what the media and the Democrats tell them. And the Democrats say, you can't win an election unless you move to the left. So they become more moderate. And the media says, you can't win an election unless you do this, that, the next thing. And so the Republicans listen to their enemy and take the advice of their enemy on how to win an election.
So far, I would agree with you with 14 out of the 17 candidates, which brings us to the last three, Carson, Cruz, and Trump. Would they fit the description that you just gave? Ben Carson is a very, very smart man. A lot of people would think that they could get over on Ben Carson, but I don't think that Ben Carson would be. We're stepping away from the type of person that you're talking about. We're stepping into the realm of the person who is willing to be different because he's smart enough to be different. and who is willing to take those chances because he's smart enough to see the field, if you will, laying before him.
Well, here's the thing, though, Chris. You've already dismissed candidates like Walker and Kasich because they don't have any kind of a powerful personality. And Ben Carson really is too soft-spoken to be the kind of leader that we're going to need.
Don't misunderstand the man, and don't underestimate him. He speaks softly, but he carries a big stick.
I haven't seen that big stick.
Oh, really?
But I understand what you're saying. And this was going to be one of the weaknesses I was going to say about him. Mm-hmm. Can he have the force of personality to get people motivated to act?
Right.
Because that's what it's going to take. And on that measure, I think he comes up a little bit short.
Can he deliver a clear idea forcefully and with passion?
And I do think that he comes up a little bit short there. However, I think he's qualified to be vice president, and I think it would be a smart choice for anybody to choose him as vice president over all of the ones that I've mentioned before now. I really do. Because not only is he a smart person and can provide great counsel to the president, not only could he step in and be president, but he could also be a healing factor for the nation in terms of race relations. He would be the opposite of Barack Obama. And so that brings us to Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. All right, let's start with Ted Cruz. He's got great experience in Texas as the prosecutor. He did. He fought against the Bush administration
and
in Texas and won. Of course, he's the senator that nobody likes. And so that certainly tells us that he has force of personality. It also tells us that he has some bold ideas. His idea for a tax plan is a flat tax. So he's going in the right direction there. And also in the debate, he said he would end Obamacare. He would change that. And I believe that he would, because he's proven that he would take measures to do so. He would, day one, he would rescind those illegal executive orders. And what he means by illegal, I would like to know. I would rather hear him say all executive orders by Barack Obama that are still in effect. And so he is proposing to do the things, and I do believe he has the willingness to do it. So that brings us to, does he have the force of personality to get the people that he would need behind him? And that's the one area where I'm just not quite sure, because the Senate is going to fight the next president, and the Republicans in the Senate and the House are not going to be enough to make the difference. The next president is going to have to be able to take the argument to the people and get the people behind him to move things in Washington, D.C., and I'm not quite sure that Ted Cruz can do that. When we come back, we got one more fellow to talk about. Does he have what it takes? If you folks have an opinion, love to hear it. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You got the American Adversaries. Once again, we'll be here live until 8 o'clock, at which time you got Armed American Radio, which will take you live until 11 o'clock tonight. Great live radio every Sunday night. The only place you'll find it, right here, AM 660 The Answer, FM 105, and 1520 WBZW. And real quickly, as I said, we are live, 407-774-8255 is the number. We've been talking about the GOP candidates, who's qualified, and in my opinion, they're all qualified to be a president. Are they qualified to be the president that we need right now to begin the process of turning this country around? And by the way, still well into two-thirds of the American public believes the nation is going in the wrong direction. We've talked all our way through Ted Cruz. When we went out, we were talking about Ted Cruz. I'm a little concerned that, yes, he has the right ideas. He has the right abilities. He has shown that he is not a regular politician, that he understands we can't do politics as usual. But as I said, the next president, to make some big changes, is going to have to rally the country behind him. And I'm not so – or her. And I'm not so sure – that Ted Cruz can do that. Aubrey, you think he can?
I think he can, because he's a man that can present facts and who is persuasive. He wouldn't have been successful as a prosecutor and won the cases that he's won if he wasn't able to persuade people. I think he's got the personality. He is forceful, but he is soft-spoken at the same time. And I believe Ted Cruz has a better chance of also rallying the Republicans and some Democrats than Donald Trump, because they're automatically against Donald because he's an outside, a total outsider.
Well, that then brings us to Donald Trump, who is leading in the latest Fox poll. He has 25% of the vote, twice his next opponent, being his closest opponent, that being Ben Carson, who has 12. A lot of people think that Trump can't go above 25%. They think that ultimately that'll be his downfall, that he can't go above that 25%. We shall see in terms of that. Now, in terms of is he qualified to be president? Well, the man has executive experience. Can we grant that?
All right. Yes,
we
can. Sure.
He's run corporations. He's run many businesses. He's hired people. He's fired people. He understands economics. He understands business principles. Also, he has rubbed elbows with people all over the world. He has a keen grasp of foreign policy. You can go back and his speeches really haven't changed much over the years. And only more people now believe what he says because they can see the results of things that he was talking about that would materialize, that have materialized.
He gets to play the "See, I told you so" game.
Indeed, he does. And when it comes to the issues in terms of what are you going to do about ISIS, what are you going to do about immigration, what are you going to do about the economy, the guy has the right answers. In my opinion, at least he's got some pretty good answers. Some would argue that he has no specifics, but he has every bit as much specifics as anybody out there. So don't let that fool you. So then the question becomes, first of all, where are you going to get the nomination? Could he win the election? And second of all, would he be able to effectively govern should he win the election? And, of course, the traditional thinking, which is kind of what you're expressing, Aubrey, is that anybody who is such an outsider would be totally ineffective in the political world or handicapped, shall we say.
Yeah, and handicapped because history has a way of showing that to us. Now, I'm not against a total outsider. I like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I like him because, A, he's forceful, B, he's a business person, he's not a professional politician, C, he has got world experience, and D, of all the companies he started, he's only went bankrupt four times on those companies, which is not a bad record to have.
Out of hundreds and hundreds of companies.
Exactly.
And those were in real estate deals, where, of course, the real estate market is very volatile.
It's very volatile. And so you've got to sometimes cut your losses and walk away.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Everett Husky? Was it C. Everett or E. Everett? Maybe it was E. Everett Husky. You've never heard of Everett Husky?
No, I never have.
All right. Everett Husky was a real estate mogul in town here. As a matter of fact, he started the Sweetwater. All the Sweetwater and the Wakiva stuff up here, that was Everett Husky that started all of that. He helped Gino Pelucci with Heathrow up there. He'd gone bankrupt himself three or four times.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nature.
That's the nature of the game.
Real estate and oil are boom and bust businesses, which means you can lose a lot of money, but it also means you can make a lot of money in those businesses, okay, if you get in at the right time and get out at the right time. And, of course, in real estate, it's much more difficult to get out because real estate is by nature not very what they call liquid. In other words, you can't, say, overnight or in a couple of days, turn a house, say, for instance, or a building or a piece of property into cash like you can with a stock or a bond or a piece of gold or something. That is a liquid asset, which you can turn into cash pretty much right away. Mm-hmm. Can't do that with real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can be on top of the world one day and then the bottom fall out and you go with it. So that, yeah, he's, but to get back to Trump, I do believe he has the force of personality, and his support is coming not just from Republicans who are PO'd at the Republican Party, but if you do polling outside the Republican Party, he's getting support from traditional Democrats. He's getting support from independents.
A lot of independents.
Yeah. So he is showing already that he can have a broad appeal. And that's what it's going to take, because it's not the problems that we have are not going to be solved from one side. I think that's part of what Carl was saying earlier. You know, we keep thinking if we just elect the right Republicans, we're going to get the right results. The problem is now much deeper than that. So the problem, the demands for the solution are going to have to somehow magically, if you will, come from both sides. And the only candidate out there on either side that has shown any ability so far to do that is Donald Trump. Now, Ted Cruz will get a lot of support from the Republican base and conservatives. He will get zilch from the other side and not much from the middle. This is one thing that Donald Trump has over all of them, which is why he shakes them all up. And would he shake things up in Washington, D.C.? Would he be the type of guy who would come in and say, look, this agency is not being run efficiently. Mm-hmm. You're fired. You run it for a while. If you don't do it right, I'm going to fire your ass too. Excuse my French. But that's the way it has to be. Has to be no holes barred, no political favoritism, parties be damned. The U.S. comes first and foremost. And he's the only one, I believe, that can pull that off. Let's go to JJ and see what she thinks about it. JJ, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Oh, thank you. I'm kind of torn between Trump and Cruz. I still come down on the side of Cruz, and not because he's a politician, because I like that about Trump, but I do, and I do like his feisty boldness. But I think that Cruz has what it takes. I think he's well-rounded, and I do appreciate the man's core values, the character, his depth of character. I do think he's got the integrity, too, and that counts for a lot. And I think the best ticket would be him and Fiorina as vice president.
Yeah, I've heard a number of people say exactly that same thing in terms of the ticket, he and Carly Fiorina. So you're not alone in that. And I do think that would be a powerful ticket. And I do think that they would have an extremely good chance of winning the election. Beyond that, and beyond what he could do with executive orders, that's where I begin to have my doubts. And now he is, as you and Aubrey are saying, he is a persuasive character. And I do think that he could rally the country to a certain extent. But he's just not the salesman Donald Trump is. And that's really what we need right now. We need a powerful salesperson that can make the conservative case, the case that America, as envisioned by our founders, is the greatest nation in the world, and that's what we should be aiming for. Not some scholar's idea of what we can do to make it a better place. No, we need to be going back to the basics. And that's what he understands. And that's what he keeps saying over and over and over again. We're being beaten on the basics. You get back to the basics, then everything else, I believe, begins to fall into place. JJ.
Well, I agree. In the natural and in the business world and just on the face of it. But I really wish, I feel like these are really serious times we're living in. And I would rather have Huckabee or Cruz as my first choice at the helm, because they have proclaimed themselves to be born-again Christians. And I believe that because of that integrity and to be bold enough to say that and try to live out those values.
Yeah, that's important, too. Yeah, JJ, I'm sorry I got to cut you off, though. I'm out of time. It's a hard break. But thanks for your call. That's great consideration as well. We'll be back.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Man, 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 you make me feel so
That's the third hour of the American Adversaries three-hour tour. And speaking of three, we are on three radio stations you can hear all over the Central Florida area. 105.5 FM, AM 660, The Answer, and 1520 WBZW, Apopka's hometown station. You take your pick. AM, FM, left side of the dial, right of the side of the dial. We've got it all. We've got it all for you. Nostra Dennis in the studio with Christopher Hart, with Aubrey Kahn, with Johnny Guns, with Jeff Sennis on the other side of the glass. And, ooh, look at the phones, and let's find out who's here. Knock, knock, it's Sunny, smiling bright. Her moves are swift and out of sight. She'll make you smile from ear to ear, or you can take a short walk off a pier. Hiya, Sunny.
Sunny.
Where are you, Sunny?
Smile.
There she is.
I am here. I love it. I love it. Thank you for that.
Well, and I read it on your Facebook page. I didn't make it up, so.
That's right. Well, hey, you know. Yeah, we've got several of those little wraps and whatnot. How are you guys faring the heat?
Well, it's a little spritzy, but we're in a studio that has become cool over the years.
Oh, that's
so
nice. We're okay. Experiencing a heat wave here in Cali, boy.
Yeah, you got a lot of fires going on out there.
Oh, you could say that again. We've got quite a few flare-ups, and some are contained. But, yeah, they're throughout Northern California and Southern California right now. We've got one very close locally, which was San Gabriel Mountains, which is still, I think, there. It's burning acreage still going on. So Glendora, yeah, they're all over the place.
Yeah,
this is Cali, though. We're not, it's nothing new. When it gets hot here, it's almost automatic, unfortunately, you know?
Yeah. Well, the weather agencies are predicting that in fairly soon, anyway, by the fall, you should be getting a lot of rain because of the El Nino pattern developing in the Pacific Ocean, I guess.
And then the mudslides come.
You're right. Yeah.
Blame it on the illegal immigrants.
There you go. But, you know, you've got a drought in California, and they
are... Oh, I like this accent, a drought. That's very sexy.
This is Aubrey Kahn, our South African, our African-American here.
Very nice. Yeah. I like that. I'm like, oh, we have a new voice.
Well...
Very cute.
It's an old man with a new voice.
But
you guys have got a drought going on, and yet you're pumping tens of millions of gallons of water out to sea because of a stupid fish.
He's talking about the smelt, I think, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah,
in the whole thing stinks to high heaven.
It does. He's right. In Northern California, the water that they could be diverting to Southern California, they're pumping into San Francisco Bay.
Sure.
It's a crazy world.
It is. That's why I remain to be a Southern California girl. I am born and raised Southern.
I hear you. It's like two different worlds, isn't it?
It is, indeed.
Where are you at tonight?
I am up in the mountains in beautiful Lake of the Woods, they call it, nearest Pine Mountain. It's up in the Los Angeles National Forest.
Oh, wow. That must be a nice area.
Very, very beautiful up here. It's still very warm, but there's a slight breeze. And this is just, you know, this is God's country. And at night, it's beautiful. You can reach out and touch the stars. They're so very, very close.
Oh, I bet they are.
And clear, and you can breathe fresh air away from Los Angeles, the city, and the smog. And the crazy people and the traffic and, you know.
All right. Well,
and Trump yelling at all the immigration out there, the guys. Tell him to get up and load up in his truck, and he's going to take him back over the border.
That's right. He's going to load him up in his helicopter like he did those kids at the Iowa Fair yesterday. But now this past Monday, Bernie Sanders was in Los Angeles, and he spoke to some 27,000 people that day. Do you know anybody that was there?
I'm sure there was. I wasn't. I would have been, because to my understanding, guys, Bernie's just kicking butt.
He's tearing it up.
Oh, yeah. He's right now, he's 44% ahead of Hillary, which and Biden's way down there. He's about 9%. Hillary's about 37% standing in the New Hampshire side. But this Vermont senator, he's gaining control, and I like what he stands for.
What in particular do you like about him?
His whole platform for universal health care, free, affordable public college right there, because I have daughters, you know, hey, and that'd be great. My daughter has enough time to, you know, struggling with paying her bills and, you know, work and now, you know, college. You know, so yeah, that's one of the wonderful things, the Transform for Our Energy System, the overturn of Citizens United, the raise, of course, the minimum wage, as we know, to 15.
Yeah, but that's
the war on drugs.
But how are we going to pay for all this, Sonny?
Well, you know, he's got the solution, I'm sure, hoping.
It's called raising taxes.
He wants to raise taxes on the 2%. Meaning on the 2%, hopefully that's the richer, not the poor people here, because we don't need it. You know?
It could just mean on you and your next door neighbor, whoever you are.
That is true.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the 2% don't. If you put all their money together and took every dime of it, it wouldn't be enough to cover what he's talking about doing. That's the problem ultimately with the government giveaways. Is at the end of the day, they got to be paid for, and this country is broke. I mean, $18 trillion in debt. Now, that's debt that we owe on bonds, you know, like U.S. Treasury bonds.
Right.
But we also owe 10 times that, almost $200 trillion in what they call unfunded liabilities. That's Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And to add more programs on top of that, it just seems that it is unsustainable. And even if you do tax the rich at the rates that he's talking about, I can't see that producing the money that it would take to pay those kind of bills.
Welcome to the United States of Greece.
And that's what, unfortunately, I'm afraid that's where we would end up.
That's where we're heading.
Now, having said that, Bernie Sanders is getting a lot of enthusiasm out there.
He's the leading candidate in New Hampshire, like Sonny said.
Yeah, right. So kind of what I was probing for there, Sonny, is that, is this are you and other Democrats excited about Bernie Sanders, or are you sort of put off by Hillary Clinton because all this excitement for Bernie is coming at her expense?
Yes, you know, and again, I was a Hillary, you know, fan, and I still am a fan to some point. Also, on the flip side, I do like some of, like I said, the Republican candidates. So for me, you know, it should be interesting, but I would say out of the three, I'm definitely on the forefront for what Bernie stands for now. I have to go with. Here's something. He says, I tell them, as Americans celebrate the socialist Jew, every December, that's what we all do, of course. We do that, and that's what's funny. But I think he's making the next gray-haired man very cool out there in this world. That's just
well, he does have
and
a good...
I do have another joke for you guys too, and this is kind of clefty. You have a banker, you have a worker, and you have an immigrant. They're all sitting at a table with 20 cookies. The banker takes 19 cookies and warns the worker. He says, watch out, the immigrant is going to take your cookie away. Trump would really like that one, wouldn't he?
Yeah, that's right. No, I would replace the banker, though, with government, because the governments are really taking over the banking industry, as a matter of fact. You know, banks are closing up all over the country and refusing to do business with one another. And it has to do with what they call risk aversive. In other words, governments, including the United States, have come up with regulations that say, let's say a drug organization is laundering money through your bank, but you know nothing about it because they're being so clever about doing it. And the government figures out what they're doing. Do you know they will still hold the bank liable whether the bank knew what was going on or not? So they are beginning to refuse to open accounts. They're closing accounts because of government regulations, being afraid, not knowing if there's anything wrong with a business or account or anything like that. They simply don't want to be in any way, shape, or form liable. So yeah, the governments are already in the banking industry. They're controlling the banks, and so it's... The economy is being strangled by government regulations and overtaxation, and I don't know how it's going to solve things to add to all of that. But having said that, like I said, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump are definitely getting the most enthusiastic response right now from the Democrats and the Republicans, respectively. So we'll have to see where each of them goes. And I'll say this about Bernie Sanders. He's got a great tan for a guy from Vermont.
Must be friends with Boehner.
Yeah, he must be.
Sonny's tan.
Yeah, that's right.
He's keeping up.
Sonny, we're
Yeah, Sonny, I just wanted to check in because I know a lot of our listeners have been praying for your brother. Could you give us an update?
Well, as of, like I was telling Jeff a couple days ago, and I've tried to keep it off the social media. However, I do have a niece that's putting it on there, and she's raising money for his funeral expenses. So if that tells you, he has another cancer that set in. He was successful through the surgery. They removed this fast-growing cancer, and I was fortunate to talk to him over the phone through this vocal recording voice, which was a shock in itself, because when you're used to hearing your brother's voice, and now all of a sudden you hear this robotic thing, you can barely make it out. That was horrific enough, but we just found out he's got another fast-moving cancer that has set in, and it set into his neck area, and now it's attached itself to his bone, through his shoulders, so it's basically, they can't operate anymore. There's no more surgeries. They're giving him fast radiation and chemo together just to extend the life, which they're stating at the most three weeks.
Yeah.
3 weeks, maybe, at the most to live. So that's it, my friends. And I do appreciate all the prayers, and I'm still praying. I'm very, very sad, but, this is we don't want him to be in pain either, and it can't be easy in this type of situation. And I feel sorry for the family. My nieces, they're losing their father.
And
we can do is join forces and join hands across the nation to fight this horrible disease amongst many diseases that's out there. But this cancer seems to just, and we all know someone who's going through it, or we've lost some from cancer, and everybody can relate to this,
Yeah, we just lost a great personality here in Central Florida. Scott McKenzie, the morning guy over at Mix 105.1, just passed away of lymphoma. He had NHL, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
And,
he was a beloved part of our community.
Yeah. Sure.
How old's your brother?
He's 49, and the sad thing is his 50th birthday is September 18th, and so we're, pushing for it if he makes it, to his 50th, but, only the good Lord knows, and we're praying, so.
Well, our condolences to you and his family, and he'll definitely be in our prayers.
Thank you, guys. You're the best.
All right.
Loves you all. Sunny hugs and smiles out there, and thank you to all the listeners.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Try to have a good week.
Thank you. You too as well.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. We'll be right back after this short break. That's right. You got us, the American Adversaries, and we're live. 407-774-8255 is the number. A lot of sadness going around the American Adversaries Army this week. Please do keep Sonny and her brother Walter in your prayers. And, of course, Dennis lost a good friend, Scott McKenzie.
Johnny, too.
Yeah, Johnny. Yes, Scott. And I lost my little friend, Cinnamon. So
yeah.
A lot of sadness going on. So, however, we're trying to soldier on and keep fighting. And so that's what we're going to do. And we love to have Aubrey Kahn sit in the studio. Of course, Aubrey is a great sponsor of the American Adversaries, another longtime sponsor of the American Adversaries, and we really appreciate that. And we really appreciate if you would help him out anytime you need a home inspection or a business property you want inspected.
Hey, let him help you out.
Let him help
Save
you out.
Save you a ton of money.
That's right.
Let me help you.
Help you. You can call Aubrey at 321-624-0254, 321-624-0254, or visit him at orlandoshomeinspector.com. And he was just telling us some interesting statistics, figures, I should say, here during the break about Nancy Pelosi and the kind of pension she's going to be drawing when she finally does leave Congress. And
you want me to go through the details
on
this?
It's awful. It's ugly. Show us.
She will retire as a member of Congress with a pension of $174,000 a year for life.
As a member of Congress.
She has already retired as Speaker, and so for that she gets $223,500 a year for life.
And she's already getting
Plus, she will receive an additional $193,400 a year as minority leader for life. The fact that she's become rich while in office notwithstanding, she's getting $803,700 a year for life, including free medical, which is not available to us.
And even though the pension for being the majority leader and the minority leader, you would think maybe that should come from the party or something, right?
No. Yeah, it is the party. Yeah. It's a huge party.
At our expense, though, all of this is taxpayer money. It's no wonder why Washington has been corrupted so. You're talking a huge sums of money being played with, our money being played with. And I think this is part of Bernie Sanders' appeal. It's like, I'll spend the money more wisely, and we'll be able to have all of these nice things like Sonny was just talking about. But, of course, that's not going to happen because you're going to have even more corruption, even more
Bernie's
cronyism.
Part of the system.
He is.
He's also getting...
Yeah, he's going to get that big pension, too. And, of course, health benefits go along with that. You forgot to mention the health benefits.
And, you know, Nancy doesn't need all that. Her husband, Paul Pelosi, owns financial leasing services in San Francisco. That's done very well.
He's a banker. And
very well during Pelosi's leadership years.
Right. Yeah, as she was steering contracts to her husband and their firm there in San Francisco.
Shocking.
Yeah, so see, it's going to take somebody really out of the ordinary to get us out of this funk. And somebody who's willing to, you know, really just be in your face about it. Ted Cruz could be that person. Donald Trump is that person. Now, whether Donald Trump can get himself elected is a whole nother, you know, issue. But in terms, be honest with you, all these people out there saying that Donald Trump is not qualified or the least qualified to be president, I actually think they have it upside down. And I'm going to do what I do oftentimes on this show, is I'm going to say something now that we're probably going to hear in a few weeks down the road. Donald Trump is the most qualified to be president of all the candidates.
What are you talking about? He got no political experience? What has he ever done? He's declared bankruptcy, and we don't know where he stands on this. We don't know.
Donald Trump is a force of personality. Donald Trump could put this nation back on the course that it needs to be on because he is working for basic principles, basic business principles, and basic governing ideals. And those work every time. And you put that with a man of personality of his size and his bombacity, let me tell you something. He could make some changes. So that's where I believe we stand with the candidates. Not is he not the least qualified. I think he's the most qualified. When you look at all the factors that it's going to take to get the job done. Would he be able to do the job? Some. And I say some because the forces against him, against all of these people, are going to be tremendous. The forces of resistance. All these people getting all this money that you're just talking about. They're not going to want to change not one iota of anything.
That's where the pen and the phone must come in.
That's where the pen and the phone must come in.
It's tough to dig against entrenched power because they're entrenched pretty deep.
And those two guys, I think, could really do it. JJ said her ideal ticket would be Cruz and Fiorina. My ideal ticket, in terms of kicking butt and taking names in Washington, D.C., would be Trump-Cruz. But I like Carson as a vice presidential candidate. Because
he could always be Surgeon General.
He could be in charge of health care.
Yeah.
But I also believe that he could be part of selling the nation on what we need to do. Because he is such, you were talking about he's kind of soft-spoken, he's quiet, but he's a very smart man. See, he's kind of the polar opposite of Donald Trump in that respect, right? I mean, Trump is the bombastic, in-your-face type guy. Mm-hmm. And Ben Carson is really the opposite of that. And I think that contrast would work well together.
Well, yes, it will. But, you know, as we were discussing, you said that he needs more experience.
And I believe he would get that.
And so, you know, I think he would be great as Surgeon General, and he would be getting that experience because he'd be in the administration.
As a cabinet
He would be
member.
Part of it. And so he would be in on the discussions and the debates within
and
the administration.
And that's certainly a possibility, too. And I would not be necessarily
opposed to that. Would Trump run a second term? I don't know.
Well,
all right? And if he doesn't, then Cruz would move up to the presidency, and then Ben Carson as VP.
Yeah.
And so on.
Well, I do believe Trump would run for a second term should he find himself in the White House. I don't think he'd want to leave it anytime soon. And I don't think he'd want to leave it until he felt like he got as much done as he could get done.
And it'll take a while to build the 15 stories up above the first story of the White House anyway. It'll take a little time.
For that penthouse suite up there, that's right. But it, once again, I think people are taking Donald Trump too lightly. I do think that he has the qualities and the skills and the drive to be a good president. And I'm not daunted by his, you know, his past. I think that his past is solid. I think that if you really look into things, that I think, if anything, he's not a liberal. He's not a progressive. If anything, he's more libertarian than anything else. So I think that people who are still tending to discount him, dismiss him, are making a huge mistake. Not only because I think that he's going to go farther in the process, but because I don't think that they realize that they're what they are telling us. People like George Will, who go out of his way to blow off Donald Trump. What he's telling us is he thinks that things are working okay just as they are. Thank you very much. Right? They're saying that we need a regular politician. Why? Because we like the status quo is what they're saying. When somebody says we need a regular politician in there, somebody knows politics, knows their way around politics, what they are saying is they want the status quo. Because any regular politician, any of them, is going to give us the status quo. And that's why I say, I don't include Ted Cruz in that group, because Ted Cruz is not your regular politician. But out of the other 14 Republican candidates, he is the only one that fits that. All of the other ones are regular politicians. And that's from Bush right on down through Santorum. They are all regular politicians. And in that sense, they will not be able to do what we need to do. So we must ask ourselves, is it going to be enough just to have a Republican as president? Are we going to think we've actually done something? Or are we going to end up in 4 or 8 years with another Obama because the Republican that we got elected wasn't really strong enough to make the changes that we needed made? And so Barack Obama... Barack Obama's legacy stays in place. Cannot allow that to happen. And even though all 17 might say they could do something about it, there's only two or three that actually could.
Well, when you start looking at the candidates and you start looking at a politician, someone who's soft-spoken but who does what he says, what we need is another we need a Benjamin Netanyahu, and Cruz is about as close as we will get in this country.
All right. Okay. All right. We'll go ahead and take the break. When we come back, we're going to have some WTF news with Johnny Guns and a little bit more after that, so stick around.
You can be a part of the conversation, too. 407-774-8255. We are on 105.5 FM, AM 660, The Answer, and 1520 The CW Popka's hometown station. We are the American Adversaries. We'll be right back.
Don't forget, in politics is the only place you can live even more than twice.
Listen to the American Adversaries, tough guy!
Well, if it's good enough for Hacksaw Jim Duggan, it should be good enough for the rest of us, yes? Speaking of good enough for the rest of us, here's someone who's good... Well, he's better than the rest of us at bringing us the craziest, wackiest, goofiest WTF stories each week, and that is our WTF Newshound, Johnny Guns.
Thank you. I guess that's a compliment. I'm good at being goofy.
You sure are.
All right.
You're the best.
All right. Well, I hope Carl
Disney character.
I hope Carl Jackson is listening because I'm dedicating the final story of WTF News to him. But first, we're going to start pretty close to home. In fact, just down the road, where a Florida woman was accused of leaving her young children in the car while drinking in a bar, she was caught on camera having her four-year-old blow into her breathalyzer. Yes, Dateline, Apopka, Florida. Apopka police officer's body camera was recording when the woman in question handed the breathalyzer installed in her car to her four-year-old son so he could blow into it, starting the car. The officer was questioning her on allegations that she left the boy and his two-year-old sibling alone in the car while she drank at a local bar and grill. The mother was arrested on child endangerment charges and held on $1,500 bail. Her husband said that he had the breathalyzer installed in the wife's car after her recent stint in rehab. He said his wife has a drinking problem and he does not intend to bail her out. The husband told a local TV station, "I think this is the best thing for her. Rehab hasn't worked, and she hasn't learned anything from it." He said he's taking his children and moving to Oklahoma. You know, I think she would have been better off if she just let the four-year-old do the breathalyzer and then drive home.
And drive the car. So she had a car that wouldn't start unless she blew into this
correct.
Thing? And it
yes.
gave a
well, correct.
Unless blew into it.
They fit the cars with a breathalyzer.
Yep.
And you have to breathe into that. It measures your alcohol level, and if your alcohol level's too high,
it won't start the car.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So she had the four-year-old take the breathalyzer, but I don't even want to know who she had take her urine test. All right, Dennis, we're going to go up to your old stomping grounds for this
York,
one.
Forget hey, it.
By
New York.
By the way, real quick, you said that was in Apopka?
It was Apopka. APK.
By the way, the Gideon, Steve Gideon and his family were at Cafe Positano the other night.
Oh, so very cool.
I want to say hi to the Gideons out there, yeah.
All right, Matt, who knows? Maybe he was the officer in question.
Nancy and Shauna, yeah.
All right, the New York Police Department shared pictures of a seized Bible that was found to contain a loaded Glock 17 handgun.
Wow.
The police department's 70th precinct shared a picture of on Twitter of the Bible and gun seized during an early Monday traffic stop that led to three arrests. Police said the vehicle was pulled over about 2:30 in the morning on Monday in search when officers detected the scent of marijuana. Investigators said they found marijuana, a gravity knife. I don't think I've ever seen a gravity knife, and a hollowed out King James Bible containing a loaded Glock 17. The three people were arrested on charges of criminal possession of a weapon, unlawful possession of marijuana, and word is at the time of the arrest they were reciting a version of the Lord's Prayer, which goes, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed out be your word. Thy handcuffs come, police will be done on earth as we smoke our way to heaven."
Amen.
Amen. And now, Carl Jackson, this is your story, my friend, because I believe this would be Carl Jackson's second favorite church ever. An Alabama congregation has turned the small Grand Canyon behind their church into an unusual ministry, a gun range. Philip Guinn, spelled G-U-I-N, so it's only right that he has gun in his last name, is the pastor of Rocky Mount United Methodist Church in Jamison, Alabama, and said the Rocky Mount Hunt and Gun Club behind the church started out as a gully filled with snakes and other pests. He told a local newspaper, "We've had this large hole in the back of our property at the church for quite some time, and we thought it would be neat to start a gun range." He said the range was originally used as a facility to teach gun safety to church members. He went on saying, "We had quite a number of church members, some elderly ladies, for example, and some not-so-elderly women that had purchased guns but did not know how to use them." He said safety classes eventually turned into a ministry, which he called the Rocky Mount Hunt and Gun Club. He says, "This is an opportunity for us to reach out in the name of Jesus Christ in a setting that is completely unique." He said the group is looking to offer safety classes to the public and to the future, or in the future, Really, the whole purpose of the range is to provide recreational and gun safety in a warm, loving Christian environment. However, I have to take a little issue with the Rocky Mount Hunt and Gun Club, as far as their name goes. Not really creative, so I took the liberty of coming up with some better names, I think. Like the Discharging Disciples, which could have a double meaning for the elderly people.
Oh.
What about...
That's below the belt.
What about Glocks for God? I like
that's
that
good
one.
Alliterative there.
Yeah. Full Metal Jackets for Jesus. And my personal favorite, Half Cocks for the Holy Spirit.
Only in Allah.
Alabama.
Sweet home, Alabama, at that. All right. Thank you very much, Johnny Guns. I won't even begin to try to touch that, but I got a little something here. You guys remember Chelsea Manning? Chelsea was...
You mean Bradley?
Yeah. Well, that's how you know the person. Yeah. See, Chelsea was transgender before transgender was cool, right?
Sure. Last year, yeah.
Yeah, Bradley Manning is the soldier that was convicted for leaking secure documents, who went to federal prison at Leavenworth only to want to become a woman. And I guess the courts have granted him the right to become a woman at our expense. So Bradley Manning has become Chelsea Manning, but hey, get back is a you-know-what.
We should get Nancy to pay for it.
That's right. He has been placed in solitary confinement indefinitely. And do you want to know why?
Oh,
why?
Yes.
He had a copy of Vanity Fair.
Well, yeah, that's enough.
And get this, an expired tube of toothpaste. Take that,
dun,
Chelsea.
Dun, dun. What? Just because it was expired, if it had been fresh tube of toothpaste, that wouldn't have been a problem?
Among other things, whatever those other things are, I don't know. But I don't know. Putting a person in solitary confinement, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to have the taxpayers pay to have a man become a woman, and then you're going to put him in solitary confinement because they want to read Vanity Fair, just something just doesn't quite stack up there.
Look, our court system is so broken. And the people who pass down these judgments are so stupid that they would grant a sex change to someone on death row.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. And then, of course, that person would be able to demand a new trial because it wasn't them that, you know what I mean. Also, scientists have come up with a new theory as to why we rose above the apes. They thought fire was one of the reasons. In other words, we learned how to use fire, so we started cooking our food. And cooked food is easier to eat and digest than raw food.
But I thought they said we came from apes.
Right.
So how did apes learn to use fire and others didn't?
Well,
please explain.
They haven't got to that
part.
They
were the
yet.
Stupid apes that didn't learn how far.
They became
smart
judges.
Right.
We are just smart apes.
Exactly, evolved. Exactly. But now they think it is something more than just fire and cooked food. They think that it is carbohydrates, eating carbohydrates, that set us apart.
We learned how to cook bread, right?
And learn
how to bake bread as a monkey.
Hey, all I know is we pay for these things, right? So we should take them seriously.
A bunch of horses' asses.
That's protein. That's not carbohydrate.
See, Dennis,
that's
you now
the
have
fertilizer.
You have permission to eat carbs.
Thank you. I can now get back to my Twinkies.
That's right. They will make you more human.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. When we come back, we'll wrap things up for tonight. But don't forget, there's still a lot of quality live radio. I wonder if they're going to be talking about that church story on Armed American
yeah,
Radio.
Guns and Bibles. Boy, they go together
we
in your WTF
We had two guns and Bible
tonight.
Stories. Yeah,
getting ready for the Crusades.
Yeah,
that's
against
right.
ISIS.
That's right. That's right. By the way,
yes.
People smoking pot in their cars, why don't they just run the windows down a little bit?
Share it with the rest of the world, right?
Well, at least get the fog out of the car, you know? I mean, for God's sake.
Hey, it's
why?
Like a
you
can
recycle.
You know what?
You can breathe it in a second and third time.
That woman from Apopka should have been calling you.
I don't think so.
Give us a hand here, would you? Officer Gideon, where are you?
That's right. All right. When we come back, like I said, we'll be wrapping up things for tonight, but please don't go away. We have more to talk about. And don't forget, it's summertime, and this is the time of year where you get a lot of bug bites, maybe some burns from cooking on the barbecue or something, some cuts and scrapes. This is the time, actually, year-round, you need Roxy Pacifics. I almost cut my fingertip off the other day. And this thing is almost all healed up now. Might have a little scar, but that's okay. Because Roxy Pacifics is great stuff. You can find it at skinfix.us. That's skinfix.us. It's all natural. It's an antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, good for whatever ails your skin. You need some in your medicine cabinet at home, and you need a little bottle to carry with you, and you can find it at skinfix.us. Please don't go away.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show, folks. You got us for one more segment, then you got Armed American Radio, which will take you live until 11 o'clock tonight. Nowhere else other than right here on FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer. Can you find great live radio every Sunday night? And that's why we'd like you to take the survey that Salem Media Group is doing nationwide about their stations around the country. It's real easy to do.
Just took it. It's 10 questions.
Yeah.
One of them is, who's your favorite air personality on mm-hmm. the station? So.
And that's where we would like you to write in American Adversaries or one of our names and American Adversaries or something to do with our show so that they can take notice of what we're doing down here. You know, we're getting ready to do, this was 249. That's the number of our Sunday night shows. So next week will be our 250th Sunday
wow.
night show.
Yeah.
And Labor Day weekend marks 5 years that we've been on Sunday nights. So I think it's about time that they know what we're doing out in California at headquarters, don't you?
Amen.
All right, and this is our opportunity to let them know. And if there's somebody else you know on the station that you like better, please take the survey and tell them that. Just take the survey because it may put $5,000 in your pocket because once you take the survey, you'll be entered into a drawing for $5,000. Real easy to take the survey. Just go to am660theanswer.com. You become an answer seeker. Basically, you're going to give them an email address. Mm-hmm. And then you take the Dreams Come True survey. And that's where, like Dennis said, it's mostly multiple choice questions.
Yeah, and they'll ask questions, you know, like about your family. How many children do you have? What kind of things you do in your leisure time? Not really that intrusive. Just basically generic questions about you and your lifestyle and what you like about being a part of AM 660, The Answer.
So, once again, I'm asking you to do this for us because it'd be a way to help us out. As most of you out there know, we do not work for the radio station. Okay, so this is not a popularity contest amongst personalities that work for a radio station because we don't. We buy the airtime. It's what they call a brokered show. And so, you know, it's a bit harder, you know, for them to notice us, be quite honest with you. They really have no motivation to notice us, right? Because we're buying the airtime from them. So what do they care if we're popular or not?
As long as we're not breaking any FCC rules,
right.
Which
mm-hmm.
we don't.
But if they did know that we were popular, that may can move some things for us.
And there are no wrong answers in this survey. As long as your answer to number three is the American Adversaries,
that's right.
Then you'll be all right.
Or one of the hosts on the American Adversaries. You can put any of our names down. I welcome you to do that. Because, you know, we want them to ask, who are these guys? That's what we want. When this survey results are turned in to Salem Media Group, we want them to look up and say, who are these guys? And the only way they're going to do that is if you respond to this survey. Okay? So please respond and ask the other people that you know who listen to the show to do the same thing. And we will be forever indebted to you if you show us our support in that way. We would certainly very much appreciate it. And then, of course, we'd also appreciate it if you would join the American Adversaries Army, which will get you into another drawing. This will be for a free cruise, our Come Sail Away With Me cruise, which departs November the 13th from Cape Canaveral. Three-night Bahamas cruise. Going to be a lot of fun. And you can get special prices. Just go to vacationtravelplanners.com on some of the cabins, the ocean view and the interior cabins, the balcony cabins. Those special prices are already gone, but take advantage of it. And by joining the American Adversaries Army, you can possibly go on the cruise for free. If you
now, when does Merrily pick the winning entry for that?
Well, we're going to pick the winning entry in a drawing at our next remote broadcast,
right,
which will be at September the 28th at Cafe Positano.
Got it.
Where we are going to have our spaghetti eating contest. And we got a couple of contestants already. We got, of course, Reggie Branch, and he's going to be kind of like the American Adversaries contestant, I guess. And one of the Pred Nation guys is going to be
there.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Very cool.
Because now they've got a lot of time on their hands now that their season's
is over as of last night. But... also, Ken Vihek is working with the Shriners. It looks like they're going to put up a contestant, too. So
not Gus the Camel.
No, not Gus the Camel. Okay. But he says they got some big eaters in the Shriners. So we'll see about that on September 28th. And that's when we will pull the drawing. That's when we'll pull the winner out of the hat for the cruise. But you have to be a member of the American Adversaries Army to get involved in that drawing. And you do that by going to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. And look for the recruiting office, and you can sign up there. And it will cost you $5 a month to be a part of our Army, but that is because we need an extra source of revenue to help keep continuing doing this show. I'll be right up front with you. That's why we're doing that. I mean, we're not trying to get rich. We're just trying to pay for this show so we can keep doing it.
Now, let's say someone comes to Positano that night for the event. Can they join the American Adversaries that night?
As long as they do it before the drawing.
Okay.
All right, and they will be entered into the drawing, and that will be September the 28th. And but if you don't want to wait for that, if you want to make sure you can go on the cruise, go to vacationtravelplanners.com or call Merrily at 321-251-4777. Or for any of your other vacation or travel needs, you need to get with Merrily because she can definitely get you the best deals. And she's got a great package going to Israel in January. So if you want to fly over to Israel for 10 days, real reasonable rates there too. Vacationtravelplanners.com, 321-251-4777. All right, we're going to leave you tonight with, once again, Lloyd Marcus. This is a song that I don't believe we've played for you folks yet, or if we have, we haven't for a long time. It's called When I Look in Your Eyes. And that's when you really see somebody and who they are, is when you look in their eyes. So we'll just leave it at that. Night, everybody.
And a dollar doesn't do what it used to do. Sometimes it seems much easier to walk away from my family and all my worries too. But when I feel I'm at my weakest moment, and I don't think I'll survive another day, all I have to do is look into your eyes. And I realize I really wanna stay. 'Cause when I look in your eyes, I can do anything. Oh, when I look in your eyes, my whole world starts to sing. Come true. When I look in your eyes, I can climb the highest mountain. When I look in your eyes, I can swim the deepest sea. When I look in your eyes, I can do most anything. Oh yeah. Sometimes life seems to take more than is given, and the times the hero wins are far and few. Sometimes I'd like to fade away till a brighter day. Sometimes I'd like to start the game anew. When my creditors gather all around me, and my soul is the only thing I've got left to pay, all I have to do is look into your eyes.
and I know together we will find a way. 'Cause when I look in your eyes, I can do anything. Oh, when I look in your eyes, my whole world starts to sing. And when they tell me I'll never make it, and all my dreams will never come true, when I look in your eyes, I can climb the highest mountain. When I look in your eyes, I can swim the deepest sea. In your eyes, I can do most anything. Whoa, sometimes the load gets so heavy and hard to bear, but then you come to me and you know what to say.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando, a service.